is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
A new document recommended military and security developments involving the People's Republic of China 2022 from the Department of Defense. It speaks to the ambition of the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, its Air Force, its Navy, its rocket forces, everything, to acquire the capabilities, the manpower, the technology, and the supremacy by 2049, the 100th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China, but in particular, the nuclear forces. I welcome Henry Sikalski, the Executive Director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. I read from the relevant paragraph in the opening pages of this massive document by the DOD. In addition to the development of the PLA's conventional capabilities, the PRC has continued to accelerate the modernization, diversification, and expansion of its nuclear forces. The PRC has stated its ambition to strengthen its, quote, strategic deterrent, end quote, while being reluctant to discuss the PLA's developing nuclear, space, and cyberspace capabilities, negatively impacting global strategic stability, an area of increasing global concern. Henry, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. You bring this document to my attention. I first would like to thank you and then ask, what is it in that paragraph I just read is not in already in train in Washington to prepare? What are we not preparing for yet? Good evening to you, Henry.
Good evening. I don't think we are wrapping our head around the idea that China alone will be at least a peer competitor, and well before 2049, if the predictions in the report about how many nuclear warheads they're going to be able to deliver by 2035 are correct. They say 1,500, which is easily the number we currently have. And I think the response so far has been, well, this means we need to modernize, as if we weren't. We are. And some people say, oh, well, what we need to do is get 3,000 warheads. And the rejoinder to that is, by the time you get the 3,000 warheads, China will not have 1,500. They'll have at least 3,000. So we have not thought through what the competition's future is going to be, other than to just act as though we can go back to what we were doing before, do a little bit more of it, and we'll be just fine. That's not the case.
The Cold War is over. In the 20th century, it ended with the fall of the Soviet Union. The new landscape involves the Russian Federation in league in some fashion with the People's Republic of China. So right now, there is a negotiation postponed, we're told, for a New START treaty, which will expire in 2026, which is why they're negotiating at this moment. And that involves the U.S. and Russia talking about arms control, limiting the number of warheads. I understand that there are details here that are not available. I do not believe tactical nuclear weapons are part of that original agreement dating from 2009. To your knowledge, Henry, is Washington looking at the missing piece in this negotiation? That would be China. Is there any arms control effort with China?
A very senior official yesterday, publicly on record, the National Nuclear Security Administrator, said that for the moment, arms control is not going to be worked. That while we, you know, hope for the future, for the moment, there's nothing in prospect. And the reason why is because of all of the nuclear activities in Russia and China at a minimum. So I don't think we're going to see much activity, at least until, my guess, the war in Ukraine comes to some kind of conclusion, which, you know, who knows when that'll be and what that conclusion will look like. So that's point one. I think point two is right now we're scampering to make the modernization program, you know, happen before the middle of the next decade, not this decade, the next decade. Yes.
In the 20th century, there were various doctrines developed by nuclear war thinkers. And one was you don't destroy cities, you destroy the capability of launching. That is, it's missile base to missile base. I believe it was called counterforce. I'm thinking that that doctrine is now in question. To your understanding, these new missiles that China may be developing by 2035, is that part of their counterforce thinking, or are those missiles threatening our cities, not just our silos and capability bombers?
To be as optimistic as I could possibly be, you'd give the answer, well, we don't know. And that has been sort of the answer that people who don't want to think the worst are giving. But if you're at all a pessimist, and I like to think occasionally I am, there are plenty of people who will point out that you've got two problems. One, the Chinese might use those weapons early or first against us, and that the secure, accurate, and most lethal weapon systems we have, which are the land-based ICBMs, and knock out a fair number of them. But more important, they are creating so many new targets for us that the ability to do counterforce, or what it's called, is limiting the damage anyone can further do after they've done their first firing, goes way down as well. And I think we have always presumed that we had enough weapons and a limited number of targets such that we could do damage limitation. And that's the reason we are putting currently our weapons, the new ones, the new ICBMs, in existing vulnerable holes, because the argument is, well, we'll just launch on warning or under attack. I think that game is over, and we need to start waking up to that.
Let's go to the document again from the DOD about the PRC's capabilities going forward. This is under the heading of Executive Summary, People's Liberation Army Rocket Force. The PLARF organizes, mans, trains, and equips the PRC's strategic land-based nuclear and conventional missile forces, associated support forces, and missile bases. The PLARF is advancing its long-term modernization plans to enhance its strategic deterrence capabilities. In 2021, the PLARF launched approximately 135 ballistic missiles for testing and training. This was more than the rest of the world combined, excluding ballistic missile employment in conflict zones. In 2021, the PRC continued building three solid-fuel intercontinental ballistic missile silo fields, which will cumulatively contain at least 300 new ICBM silos. I believe that's what you're referring to. I have read reports, chiefly from European commentators, that those missile silos may be a ruse. Do you have any information about that, or is that a debate in Washington?
It's a debate in Washington, and I think it's a game between optimists and pessimists, and I guess I am a pessimist. I think those holes are getting filled, if they aren't already. And we're just in denial about what to do when they become completely full, and we don't know what they're going to be filled with. They could be filled with something with 1, 3, or 10 warheads each. And if you multiply 350 holes by 10, that's a huge number. And even 3 is incredibly large. So I think, you don't want to be alarmist. No one wants to be alarmist. But I think we need to recognize that our policies have to deal with the uncertainties and go from bad to not so bad and be able to cope with that uncertainty. I'm not sure we're there yet. I mean, one thing that you would think immediately would be up on the net for discussion and has not been whispered about is making our own systems, like our bombers and certainly our ICBMs that are based on land, make it very difficult to know where they are. That means making them move or basing them on other systems that might be much larger in number. Maybe we've got to put missiles on trains or missiles on ships that they don't currently find themselves. That debate, and that it's very controversial, what I suggested, hasn't even been begun. I think it's well past time to get that in gear.
My memory is that we're now speaking of things that were hotly debated in the 1980s, and all of that debate ended when the Soviet Union ended. Do I remember correctly? Is this back to the future where we are, Henry?
I think you nailed it. We were saved by the bell. We were about to spend lots of money to deploy a rather large missile, MX, and a small missile, Midget Man. And it turned out the Cold War, you know, was over before we had to pull the trigger on deploying those things. We may not have that luxury. Now, it could be that, you know, Xi goes away, and, you know, it could be that Putin, you know, is replaced by, you know, liberal forces in Russia. Let's hope so. But I don't think, you know, optimism is a plan. It's just an aspiration. And I don't think our military planning can be based on that. I mean, as much as you don't just assume the worst, you've got to factor it in.
The movie I remember vividly from the 20th century about Vietnam, I don't remember the title, but it had a line in it that attracted me, that America is never, ever outgunned. Are we outgunned right now, Henry?
I'm going to say, I'm going to be upbeat, sound like I come from the Defense Department or State Department. I'll say no. But at the rate we're going, it isn't so much that we'll be outgunned, we'll be outsnookered, because we need to compete in other arenas. I don't think this is a tit-for-tat kind of game you want to play. Why? I think the acquisition speed in China is a lot quicker than it is here, and at least for nuclear systems. I don't think that's the case with regard to space, and the competition may be one in which, instead of going arm to arm, and you know, having launcher to launcher competitions quantitatively, you start thinking about things in space and command and control and secure communications, such that when you get into the ring, even though you don't have as many arms as the other fellow does, you can lobotomize him, and the fight is over. And I think we need to start thinking a little more creatively about what our comparative advantages are.
Henry Sikorsky is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. We're headed to Ukraine and nuclear power plants in combat zones, and what we've learned so far.